First of all, you're very welcome to the studio, and it's very early in the year to be looking forward to a big game, but certainly you're looking forward to a big one tomorrow.
Good morning, Tom. It's nice to be here. Yeah, and we have a big game tomorrow. Yeah,
yeah. I spoke to Lee Maloney there of the sports editor of the Sligo Weekender a couple of moments ago, and he was saying that your opponents, Eastkey, was founded in 1888, and they've won five Sligo senior championships, five junior championships and five intermediate championships in that time, and they're looking upon it as the biggest game in their history. So I presume a club that was formed like Red Hughes in 1980, they're looking on it pretty highly as well.
Yeah, they are. Well, that's only the recent Red Hughes. In actual fact, Red Hughes are celebrating 100 years this year as a total club, 1919, apparently. Well, that's what's over the door, so yeah. I have to presume that 2019 will be 100 years on from that now. So it's fairly historic for them as well. I don't know if they have as many titles won in between times, but they've had a couple, yeah.
And I suppose from your point of view, it's something that you're trying to keep off the agenda and keep away from the chat.
Yeah, you know, now, as you say, this is Saturday, you know, game tomorrow. You know, the last thing you want at this stage is any level of pressure. So you're just trying to stay relaxed before the game. That's what you're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm sure Eastkey are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Come through Ulster pretty well. Obviously, a couple of tough games in Donegal, but then had a big game over Oris. Came through Ulster fairly well. I suppose the one game that probably people started to sit up and take notice of Red Hughes was when you beat Amy Vale.
Yeah, that was definitely against the head. You know, it was against the bookies, it was against the head. And truthfully, maybe we didn't ourselves expect possibly to win it, you know. And we definitely went into that game with no pressure on our shoulders. You know, nobody had given us a chance. It's a nice way to prepare for a game. And we were able to go out and you know, just be ourselves. And I think we definitely didn't feel any pressure that day because they were coming at us from all angles. And to be fair to the boys, they didn't give in, they didn't lie down, they didn't stop doing what they knew they could do. And eventually, I think you win two or three kickouts in a row, and all of a sudden the momentum of the game just changed totally, and it was just like pulling the plug in the bath. There was just no way of stopping it, the flow anymore. Everything had just changed in minutes. And it was at a period of game in the time, or it was at a time in the game when just Amy Vale just weren't capable of coming back again. It was just 10 minutes left on the clock and it was gone, and they couldn't get it turned around. So, that, you know, everything went very, very well for us that day. You know, that was the one day where you imagine you had a nice bit of luck, or maybe if we didn't have luck, Lady Luck seemed to be looking down on us the right way. Everything timed perfectly. If we had gone ahead maybe 4 or 5 points 10 minutes into the second half, and giving Emmy Vale a chance to come back again, which everybody does get a chance at some point. Timed the run perfect. Yeah. No answer.
Is that when you began to believe maybe that there was more in this team? Or had you begun to believe that before then?
I've been there before, and, you know.
This is your second term.
Yeah. And there's a reason that Red Hughes are the junior team, and it's not because of the ability that they have, you know. It was just a matter of putting a lot of things just in a line, you know.
Ducks in a row,
you know, and they failed to do that before. You know, they've always managed to, if you want to call them rubber ducks, they always managed to puncture someone of them along the way. And they did it themselves. A lot of what the troubles that they had were probably self-inflicted. And all myself and Tommy and Dale and John have managed to do is just, you know, keep everything steady, you know, not allow anything to clear us from the path that we were on. And we've had loads of opportunities this year too. You know, there's lots of times where we went very close to Armageddon too, but we managed to, you know, squeeze our way through, you know, sail through the stones or the rocks and managed to get to the other side. But there have been a number of occasions now where it could have gone haywire on us too, you know. Yeah. Like we lost to Convoy and the third game of the championship.
But that one didn't count as much, really.
No, it didn't, but it was hurting, you know. It hurt. It was your neighbours, you know, it hurt. And nobody was happy about it. The local people about the cross weren't happy about it. Personally, I wasn't too bothered about it because I knew not only that, but we had 2 weeks before the next game. So, like, if you're out a week later and if you were under pressure for a knockout game shortly afterwards, you would be concerned about it. But no, as it turned out, no. And we played that game without Damien Brown and Paddy McGlinchey, which would be two of our key players as well.
Tell me, on to the Ulster final then, Limavady. I suppose we saw the two sides sail close to the wind and then had the audacity to go on and win it.
Well, you know, I always felt we were the better team. You know, I thought Limavady, everything they hit in the first half and over the bar, they scored some incredible scores, you know. And it's something that we hadn't seen them do previously. A couple of fellas stepped up. Rory Hassan stepped up at corner forward, where it had been his brother all along, and he kicked two incredible points from long range. And like they were in the lead for most of the game, but they were from huge scores, you know. And normally, especially possibly at junior level, you'll see that you might get an odd huge score, but it's not going to last. Actually, it doesn't last at senior level either. You might get two or three that'll put you in a good position, but you need to get a bit closer to the scoreboard if you're going, or closer to the net if you're going to score on a regular basis. And I felt we deserved that. I thought we were the better team on the day, to be truthful. Mm. It took us a little while to get there, but I did think we were better. We were the better team on the day.
And I suppose you got the short straw then in that you got an All-Ireland quarter final.
Well, that was the day now. That was the day. That's the day now. We rode our luck, no doubt about it. You were there, you saw it.
Dunedin,
if anything, were we too comfortable 6 points up 10 minutes into the second half? The situation you're talking about, the same as what happened at Emmy Vale, you know?
Yeah.
5 points up 10 minutes into the second half, the tide turned, same as it turned on us. But to be fair, we showed some character just to plod on. Mm. And it wasn't by any great quality, or it wasn't by any great, you know, tactical changes or anything like that. We just plodded on and we got there. You know, we have some great leaders sometimes when things go against us, and we just kept going and we got extra time. And to be fair, I think our superior fitness probably showed at that stage. Mm-hmm. I felt sorry for the Dunedin lads that day, because I think if I was looking at it as a boxing match, they definitely scored higher than us, on the level of their performance. They came back really well. They missed some handy opportunities towards the end, and they probably should have won it in ordinary time.
Mm. You mentioned leaders, you know, and you have the few of them, obviously. And
I suppose,
you know, there's a young man has broke through at County 11, Steve McMenamin. He's one of them. There's a man that came off the bench the last day with his jaw still wired from a broken jaw against Limavady, Shane Gallagher. Mm. That's another man. You know, they're the warriors.
We have a lot of leaders. From when you leave our goalkeeper, Kieran Kelly, who I can remind everybody, saves a ball 5 minutes into the Emmyville game, and if it goes to the back of the net, there's a high likelihood there could have been a cricket score. I won't deny saying that, you know, because we were already 2 or 3 points down. They were all over us. We couldn't get the ball out past our own 50-yard line. He made a fantastic save, and we go to the other end of the field and we get a point. And from there on, we crawl our way into the game. And from there forward, you know, I won't start naming them, but we have leaders, a lot of them, you know, which is... And my time dealing with football, I know a lot of it would have been underage, but the kind of leaders we have, like they're mentally strong, you know. They just keep going and keep going, you know. They don't lie down. Mm.
That's been very evident all season, none more so than the last day. You've come from behind in a lot of games.
Yeah.
Good characteristic, but sometimes you can run out of rope too.
You'd rather not be at that every day, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the last day that we've led from the front really all the way through has been the Oris game. You could say that the Dunedin game, we started off well and we were in control for a long time, but, you know, it fell away from us. Mm. So, you know, it's hard to know, but you just don't like to be coming from behind all the time. There's just no guarantee it's all going to come together for you.
The one thing I thought against Dunedin, that you looked a bit tired. You know, I thought maybe a long season was catching up with you. Was that the case? Maybe the break that normally people frown about and give out about maybe was just what you needed?
I know a lot of people will not really believe this, and I suppose the only ones that will be able to confirm it will be the likes of Guido or anybody else that's managed to go to this stage in a competition. But it is very exhausting. The whole thing is exhausting. Mm. You know, I get on the best of the lads in the cross, but we are all sick of looking at one another. We really are. You know, we're running the fields and we're doing drills and we're training hard and we're talking the same stuff, and you know, it's been a very long season. Mm. Now, look, don't get me wrong, we're absolutely enjoying it, but we are very, very, we're very, very tired of looking at one another. You know, we really could do with a break. We don't want one for another 3 weeks, may I say, but we could do with a break. It's been very exhausting.
So did you break at all?
You know,
it was 6 weeks, I think, wasn't it, from your Dunedin game to...
That's right.
To the semi-final.
I'll tell you what happened. When we won Ulster, I had realised we had gone a lot further than anybody ever expected, and anywhere above our own expectations. The only thing we had put down in the calendar was that we had to try and win a county title. After that, we really didn't care, truthfully. You don't care. We didn't care for a week after it. It's only then that we decided, well, holy God, we've got this far. We may as well try and do another bit. And then when we did win Ulster, personally, I felt, well, you know, this is a huge achievement. You know, this is incredible stuff. And I went to them and I said to the players, look, I'm going in here to talk to these Dunedin fellas and you know, commiserate with them the best that I can. You guys decide now what it is that we're going to do, you know, because we are. We all recognise we were tired. Mm. We recognised it the week before the Dunedin game. We all recognised that we were really tired, you know. And I says to them, I landed back and says, what are we going to do? And they says, we're going back to training Tuesday. Because the way they saw it is we won't ever have this opportunity again, or it's highly unlikely. And that's very much the truth. Mm. You know, it's very difficult to get to that level in Ulster. There are so many teams that, you know, get to that level and go on to that level and whatnot else, you know. So, you know, we did, I did actually, we did take a week break. I told them, listen, no harm to these boys. You might want to go at it again, but I definitely want a week off. So we took a full week off and we went back at it again the week after. And we've kind of trained, not flat out now over the Christmas period, but we kept going over the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. And
I see you brought in a couple outside trainers, maybe what, to freshen it up, maybe different voices.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Remind us who you brought in.
If Declan can bring them in, I can bring them in, you know. Yeah, we had Ollie Horgan, would you believe it? Yeah. Ollie called down to us for a morning.
Former Salt Hill, Lochnacara.
Oh, everybody forgets Ollie's GAA to the backbone. He mightn't admit it now, but I have photos to prove it. We had Ollie, and Ollie was brilliant. You know, it was totally different, nothing that the boys had ever seen before. Absolutely loved it one Sunday morning down the cross. And Steve McManaman walks out. I hadn't told him that they're there, you know. Steve McManaman walks out of the field, looks over, he's kind of squinting across. That looks like Ollie Horgan. That looks like Ollie Horgan. He says to me, I said, that is Ollie Horgan. He says, that's not Ollie Horgan. What would Ollie Horgan be doing here? So they were surprised and, you know, really delighted with Ollie. And I have to thank Ollie for coming down, because it was a nice turn for him to show. And then we had our old friends. And again, you know, I'm very friendly with Tony Scullion, Barry Dillon and Cahal Corey, as you well know. Cahal's a very good friend of mine. And all of those have come in at different times over the Christmas period. You know, just to freshen the thing up, you know. Yeah. We could have played more challenge games. We were offered a challenge game or two. But our panel's not that young, you know. And, like, we played one really hard game against the Donegal under-20s. And the boys loved it and they wanted another game. But injuries, you know, and recovery from injuries, we had one or two from it, as it was. And, no, I just couldn't. You couldn't do it again, you know. So
how are you on the injury front now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's still a few fellas I'm a bit concerned about, but they're all hiding their injuries now, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Unless there's a leg hanging off or an arm falling off somewhere, there's no man backing away now, you know. As we reported last week, like, we have a lot of fellas that have had the flu, and yet again, they're all hopefully recovering, or if they're not, they're definitely putting the tissue away, that's for sure.
Yeah. Talk to me about East Key. I know you've had difficulty getting some info on them and some gin on them.
You are right. We received our first DVD from the Connacht Council late last night, yeah. So, yeah, no, that's not easy. We requested the video, a couple of days after the Dunedin game.
Hmm.
We requested it and we got it yesterday. So I suppose nobody can say they didn't send it to us. And we know what they're like. We know they have a good, strong midfield. We know they're very well organised. We know they have a manager. He's been through it all, as you reminded me outside the door before we came in, a man who scored 8 points at Croke Park. Yeah, and like a wealth of experience and knowledge. And, you know, he's a club man himself. His heart's in it. His son plays for the team. You know, we're well aware. You know, 2 years ago, East Key were a senior team, and we're well aware that they're, you know, they're probably favourites for the game, and that title is well earned. They ended up in junior because I think they had immigration problems, and by if the information, the scant small information that I have been given from Sligo, because I'll tell you now for nothing, nobody from Sligo or anywhere round about seems to want to say anything about East Key. It's all very quiet, all very hush hush, and apparently, you know, they're not a junior team by Sligo standards. You know, they'd be expected to be high in the intermediate ranks next year and possibly pushing for senior again. So we're well aware they're a very, very good team. You know, they have a very good full forward line that have scored it well all the way through, and they all mark well, they're well organised. he'll not get a pile of space in front of the goal with them. So we know this. We know that.
I know at this stage, I'm not sure if you want to go down the road at this stage, but you weren't all that happy. You had a training session on the venue last week on the pitch.
Just the grass is long, but there's grass is long for them, it's long for us. Yeah. So, yeah, look at there's one thing I learned from Cathal Corey actually all the way along. The first thing he always does at the beginning of every year, he makes a list of the things that you can have a control on, and there's a list of things that you can't control. And the grass would be one of those things. There's nothing we can do about it.
Unless you bring the lawnmower in the
boat. Well, and if you probably did, they wouldn't let you use it. So you're as well off just to get over it and forget about it. And like, it's the same for both teams at the end of the day. So
it's not an issue. It's not going to be an excuse.
No, it can't be. No, there's no excuses now. God, there's no excuses.
Yeah.
Not at all. We're in fairy tale land. We don't, you know, we're not looking for excuses. We're looking for an opportunity, and please God, we can make the best of it. You know, Eastkey's going out there on Sunday. They're going to win. We're going out on Sunday. We're not going to lie down in the grass. You know, somebody has to win. Somebody
even
has
though the
to
grass
lose.
Is long,
even though the grass is long and nice and comfortable, I'm sure. You know, someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. Why not be us? You know, so that's the way we look at it. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, we've come through, 13 rounds of the championship at this point. So if you take out a coin there and let flip it 13 times in a row and see
well,
what comes
up. You've
got
over the 13, that's the unlucky number.
Yeah, well, that's over the 13. So if you keep flipping the coin and see how many times you'll not get heads 13 or 14 times in a row, that's for sure. So
do you believe they're good enough?
Our fellas?
Yes.
I'll tell you what I believe is that if Eastkey win, they'll have to be very good.